is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Well, hi, I'm Bran, and
say it.
I love the general idea of what calls the heart.
You say it. You say it and own it, both of you. It's the least you can do.
It's panda. Look. One calls the heart is like, I like the general arc. You were to say an arc of it, right? Like, and there's the good moments, they're not so good moments. I like the good moments.
Yes.
I'm Dan. I'm vindicated Dan. And I despise when calls the heart. I would rather watch Kelly Pickler. And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Hello, everybody. Baby. Welcome. I like watching that intro, Dan, because I like see, depending on the show and the lighting, your hair is grayer in some shows than others.
Some salt and pepper here, guys. It just is what it is.
Early reviews on your hair?
Yeah.
Big ups.
No,
big ups.
I think it's hot. Yeah. I think it's hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Salt and pepper there?
I'm just always interested in how it looks different shades, depending on the show, the clip. And you can watch this on YouTube. Guys, we're talking about When Calls the Heart, Season 2, Episode 3, another 85-minute juggernaut of an episode.
This whole episode is an expert in ancient Greece. That's what I would say.
Guys, I know this is...
You can crash it.
Whoa! I know that this season of television is almost 6 years old, but I just want to know how it happened. How did we get multiple 85-minute
boys? Every other week, the Odd Boys. 1, 3, 5, and 7.
They were like, the Dr. Hallmark guys liked the odd episodes in the first season.
No, the evens are where they land the plane and all.
Yeah. No, because it was the first episode, and then
that would be the even, bud.
Yeah,
stop. The first episode stood on its own.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
I go back and listen.
All of them, the Andrew Walker thing ends on an even. Thus,
It has to, or otherwise episode 10 wouldn't have ended.
I thought it was an 11 episode
12.
Season.
There's 12 in season one. It's like you guys don't care. This silence is great from a...
Hey, guys, ancient Greece.
There's 12 in season one.
Huh, this whole time I thought there was 11.
12. No, you'd be right if there were 11, because it ends on an odd.
Yeah, right. That's exactly my point.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
But it ends on an even.
But just consider for a second the world where it ends at 11.
Then you would be right.
Then you would be right.
In that world we're considering.
That's such a good world.
I'm here to try to defend
you. That's such a good world, though. That's such a good world.
It would be a great alternate universe.
Billy Hamilton's two episodes are 5 and 6. 6 is the evens are where they end.
So similar.
So the evens in season 2 are 43 minutes long, and those are our favorites.
Is it really every other?
Yes.
It's going to be 85 minutes?
1, 3, 5, and 7 are all an hour 25. 2, 4, and 6 are 43 minutes.
Wait, is that true?
That is true.
I thought there was only one more.
No, two more, buddy.
They're really long. They're really long. Yeah. We're talking about season 2, episode 3.
Or episode 3,000. We don't even know. Time's a meaningless
birth
concept.
Of a nation.
How did it air on television? Because like when I look at like the directing, like this, like part one was directed by somebody else. It's like it's broken up into two parts in the directing of the episode.
Really?
Yeah. So how did this air?
Do you think they got Ken Burns to direct every other episode? Like, I mean, because that's like Ken Burns does Hamilton. Like that's the only thing like you said.
Ken Burns does Hamilton. Oh my goodness.
Like here it is right here. Part one was written by Andrea Stevens and part two was written by Derek Thompson.
It makes me so upset that we've had Aaron on the show, Paul Green on the show twice. And Aaron would be the only one. Oh, Daniel Lessing. How I could not possibly have asked them what happened in season 2. Because there's no way they stand by this. There's no way they stand by it. Not in good conscience. They can't look at season two and be like, yeah, that's good stuff there. That's where we really...
We'll find out.
We need to save it for the pod, guys. Shh.
This is the pod.
Yeah, but the deep pod.
The deep pod?
Yeah, we haven't done... He hasn't done the synopsis. It's all topsy-turvy, Dan. We haven't done our hot takes.
Well, let's get to the synopsis, shall we? It's season two, episode three. It's called Heart's Desire. It originally aired on May 16th, 2015, and... That 85-minute episode went a little something like this. Elizabeth is still in Hamilton. Luckily, Abigail's also coming to Hamilton. So Hope Valley is really going to just be a real bummer. Bill Avery shows up to help Abigail find her daughter-in-law. And he walks in and she's like, so you're married, get out. And he's like, we talked about this. It's not what it looks like. And she doesn't like, she's like, get out of here. I don't want to even hear it from you. Rosemary gets a big acting job. These two guys show up and take her to the acting job. It turns out though, not an acting job. And they're taking her to some guy that I guess she owes money to. She says it's not like that. They say you can explain it to him. Jack, though, knows something sketchy's going down, chases them down on a horse. Jack saves the day. Bill tracks down the girl and saves the day. But Abigail's still not having it with him, even though, thank you, sir. Elizabeth heads back to Hope Valley. Hey, it happened, everybody. Hey. She picked right back up with Jack, but she does volunteer to watch two kids out in the woods. She's going to do lots of chores and milking cows and whatnot. But she doesn't even know how to pump water. Luckily, Jack is there, and he pumps it real good. He helps her out and kind of do all the things that need to be done around the farm. And they have quite the moment one night as they're talking. Hey, the church is finally done, guys.
Yay!
Looks
the
though,
church and the school together.
Yes, but it does look like I don't know. I don't know where it is on a map, but it does look like you have to like surf to get there. Bill's wife shows up and he's like, "You left me. Don't come crawling back," basically. He then goes
don't
to make
come back for more.
He then goes and makes shady deals in an alley. What's he up to? Leland keeps hating Gowan. Gowan keeps being awesome. The new pastor seems like he has the hots for Abigail in one scene. I don't know if that was a mistake or if that will be something that happens later this season. I'll keep you abreast. The episode ends with Elizabeth having her first class in the new church, and everyone's really excited about that. And the two kids bring her a cowbell and said, "We named our cow Lizzie after you." That, my friends, was Wind Calls the Heart. Heart's Desire.
We did it.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll break this episode down with four segments that will be sure to have a good day.
Yeah.
We're here. We're back. Yes.
I'll save it.
Okay. Let's talk about this episode. Go ahead.
I feel like I just realized this during the break. You know, the two movies we've watched, we've really given the business to. And people have said, if you watch the show, you'll like the movies. I'm starting to think that the movies are still going to be awful. Because they're not going to have anything of consequence. They're going to be an hour 25 like these two bozos we've watched the last 2 out of 3 weeks.
You have to watch the Christmas Boys that we already saw?
I don't think so.
I think you have to.
If I have to watch the greatest Christmas blessing again.
You have to do a fair shake. And fair shakes? Yep, just like that.
Let's do the hot take. Let's share how we felt about this episode. We don't hold anything back. Things are going to get hot. Panda, how are you feeling today?
So there's two things that helped this episode. Number one, Jack tackles a person or punches him in the face. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, Elizabeth goes back to Hope Valley, which is good. So that gives me, well, I know we haven't gotten to our hopes and valleys yet, so I'll save it. But overall, this episode is tough sledding yet again. There's full of a lot of dialogue, not a lot of things I care about. And that is it, guys. It's just every episode so far in season two has been tough, and this is no different. I'm hopeful that this is a turning point. And that's about the only thing I can say about this episode is that maybe it will get better.
So
from
you
here.
Feel like episodes 5 and 7 that are both 85 minutes long going to be better than this?
I don't have a lot of hope for it, but I think that it's possible only because she's back in Hope Valley.
You think she's staying there?
I hope so. They're going to bring the other guy back. They have to because they've already established that. And it's just, if she goes back to Hamilton, I'm going to pull what remains of my hair left.
Yeah.
Correct. Directly on my head. Like, I'm so tired of it, guys.
How do you pull? You would just, it's some tweezers.
Oh,
gosh.
I will tweeze one of my hairs if she goes back to Hamilton.
Do you want to, like, I guess it's on record, so.
Perfect.
That's all I need.
Great. Yeah.
Tweeze one of them if she goes back.
What is in it for you there?
I don't know. I said it, and I maybe I was speaking in hyperbole, but then I said it, and I realized that
he doubled down into reality,
and then I doubled down into reality. Classic. And it's a classic panda move. And Now I'm gonna, like, it sounds great, and then I'm gonna leave here, and I'm gonna regret that I said it. Kind of like when I shaved my face and I looked like a little baby panda.
No, I thought you.
Looked great. I thought you looked great.
Well, thanks, buddy.
I did. I thought you looked great.
I'm gonna do.
It's a good look for you.
I agree. I'm going to do my best here.
Like a decade younger.
To he's in his late 60s. Like
You wouldn't even get a discount in the movies.
That's right.
Shaving your beard.
So
proud are senior citizens about that discount? My father gets so much joy out of a 50-cent discount. I don't understand it. He is young at heart, young dude. When it comes to going to the movies, back when we used to do that before COVID, he loved the senior ticket. It's a big thing for him.
Do seniors get a discount on like Regal Unlimited or anything like that?
No, they don't.
50 cents off a month or something like that. No.
I know this sounds weird, but whenever I was a senior in high school, I sat there and it always threw me for a loop. I was like, that does not apply to me. And then
it doesn't apply to
me. And then when it happened again, when I was in college, and it throws me both.
But when
times.
I was in high school, they had the student discount.
Yeah, but I see senior and I'm thinking, oh, that's me. You know what I'm
Why
saying?
Would it's any establishment amazing. Want students
seniors are
to be around?
Seniors are special kind of idea. Like, and so I think there's a sense where
no,
you
we're
feel
dealing with two different things. He was a doofus for thinking senior applied to him. Done. Students, as in all college and high school students, why would a theater give you a discount for being one
they
of those?
They just need money.
I guess.
But they're the worst.
Maybe
patrons.
They buy the most. They buy the most snacks.
Do you think that's
no
true?
Way in college that
students,
high school kids are throwing down 12
got their,
bones.
Their parents' money.
Maybe that'd be an interesting. This would be an interesting thing to break down.
I mean, I guess that explains why Carowinds jacks up their prices. Mostly teenagers are there,
right?
I stand by what
it's
I just said.
A good Carowinds analogy. A lot of people are going to get that. Somebody like, Missy in Oklahoma was like, I didn't understand. And then Panda brought up Carowinds.
You're welcome, Missy. Just wanted to let you know. Shout out to Missy.
Man, when's Christian Music Day coming back? Am I right,
dude,
boys?
Oh my gosh. I didn't miss a one. Then they split it up. So there was the hard music day and the CCM day.
They had a Sunfest that was a three-day event that was awesome. No one was there for a 3 o'clock Jars of Clay. Dude. I could get right up to the front.
Was that S-O-N?
Yeah, S-O-N. Oh, yeah. What do you mean?
Was it S-O-N?
Get out of here.
Dude, I just want to clear for when I Google it later.
I saw POD in the Palladium at Carowinds. There were not 300 people there.
Right.
It was empty.
It was amazing.
It was great.
Dude, there'd be hardly anyone there. You could get right up to the front and just be like, hey, and they'd sit there and they'd be like,
but to
hey,
show you how bad, great. How the mighty fell, Jars of Clay at 3 p.m.
Oh, you
That's
hate
all
to
you need
see
to know.
It.
And Panda stands by him, but even he would have to somehow reconcile in his brain that
their
Carowinds on Christian Music Day was like, where do we put Jars of Clay? How about 3 p.m?
Yeah, it was 3 p.m. on day 2, which is unbelievable. It was so hot. I don't understand. So to be fair, I walked out of that concert.
What was that? Was that their Good Monsters album?
No, it was the one before that.
Man, they were getting 3 p.m. before Good Monsters?
It was It was 04 when this.
You hate to see that.
It was 04.
I thought they leased at least.
They did autograph signing in the back. No one was there, man. It was heartbreaking. It was one of the saddest moments I ever saw. And
did
I
you
was,
at least stay for Flood or Love Song for
yeah,
Savior?
Yeah, I did stay okay, for Flood. Good, once good, they good. Played that, I was like, dude, somehow. Yeah.
Is there anything more sad than being Jars of Clay and seeing Panda walk out of their set? Little 60-year-old.
10 of them are like, who are these people? And then 20 of them are like,
I did stick around for the 1,000-foot crutch.
Do the extended bridge. Throw up your rock fest. If you feel it when I drop this.
Boom, boom.
Dude, I've seen them live before. That was right in the wheelhouse. I love
that. You and I were at Carowinds on the same day a bunch, I feel like. Although, 04, I was just toward the end of it. Like that was like me getting out of it, and that was you getting into it.
I went to
we might have been there for that.
We probably were.
That was great.
I went to a 1,000-foot crutch Demon Hunter show.
Boy, you're proud of that, I know.
Was that 05, 06?
Might have been in that.
Because they dropped, they had a little single that went with that. There was a bunch of bands there that day. I still listen to that little mixtape that they threw together.
How do you know that the episode of Wind Calls the Heart was atrocious? This.
So I...
1,000-foot crutch got more than just a mention today. That's all you need to know. That's it. That's all you need to know.
What's crazy is I went to the 2004 SUN Fest.
Yeah.
And it's not as fun as you might think.
They're trying to blind you.
Yeah, it's really.
You walk into one room and it's very hot. You walk into another room and it's very bright. And it's just like the
reflectors everywhere.
Yeah.
Just like you put in your car, they're everywhere.
You walk into one room and it's just a bunch of burning plastic. What is this?
You get on the hurler, the roller coaster around every turn. Bam! Blind.
They do have the flat earth room, though, which is very interesting.
Well, happens there?
You just kind of hear about flat earth.
The eclipse room where it's dark in there. Yeah, that's fun.
I feel like you and I were at Sunfest a lot. I was getting out of being a big sun boy.
I was getting into it.
I totally understand.
I'm going to do my best to separate this episode into two parts. Because it's the only way that I can, in my mind, make sense of this. I can't believe they did it again with 85 minutes. Can't believe they did it again with 85 minutes. First half of this episode is Boardtown, USA. And as we've been predicting all along, Elizabeth comes back into Hope Valley. And things begin to feel a little bit more normal again. I don't know the point of Hamilton if she doesn't go back. If she doesn't go, as much as I don't want her to go back to Hamilton, it's almost more insulting if she doesn't, because it makes what we have sat through just all the more inconsequential.
I don't know which is worse. To have to go back or to realize it really was all for nothing.
The reason why they have to do something is because Jack's brother and Elizabeth's sister kissed in this episode and Hamilton.
You know what I think is going to happen? Elizabeth's not going to go back to Hamilton, but we, the viewer, are still going to go back to Hamilton.
So they're making Jack's brother and Elizabeth's sister of a plot point to go back to Hamilton without Elizabeth being there.
And then we're going to see Marcus Rosner there, and then the dad's going to talk him into going to Hope Valley. That's what's going to happen.
Which is
the worst of all possible options. Elizabeth doesn't go back, but we do. That sounds like a horror movie.
So I say all that to say this. First half of this episode, I didn't like it. Second half of this episode, it felt like Wind Calls the Heart. Of course I like Elizabeth and Jack together. Man, there's a lot of just real, like, sexy time moves going on here. And it's good to be back in Hope Valley. But the first half, I don't know what meeting happened to make this a thing in season two.
Gotta be a different show.
85 minute boys. Yeah. I don't know. Second half of the episode, good.
Really?
Yeah.
I
like her in the woods and Jack coming up and doing the water thing and all that stuff. It worked for me.
It's better than the first half.
Yes. By comparison, it's way better.
Okay, by comparison. I'll take that.
Go ahead, Dan.
Interminable, insufferable, indefensible, this is the worst. This is the bottom of what television is as a medium. Like this is where you only can go up from here. I am telling you right now, I have been watching TV shows and have had episodes so bad to make me consider stop watching them. I can think of The Flash, CW's The Flash, where I was like, boy, if they're just going to keep going back in time, this is going to be dumb. And I still gave that another like half dozen episodes. If I was watching this live, it would not ever get another second of my viewing under any circumstances. This is terrible television. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do. It's not working. Hamilton, bad. When she gets back to town, it's not the same Wind Calls the Heart. It's not the same Coal Valley. Everyone's dressed differently. Everyone acts differently. Everyone has a different purpose. It's just not a good television show. There's no characters you can count on. There's nothing you can look forward to. It's bad on top of bad. This was my least favorite 85 minutes I think we've watched as a podcast. I really hated this.
Was it worse than the first 85?
Yes. Yes, because wow. There's a trial in there that carries over from season one that you have a little bit of vested interest in. This is the worst 85 minutes we've watched on this podcast. It is, and it's not even fun bad. Like Kelly Pickler's fun bad. This is, Bran is talking about how half this episode's good. He dozed off. Bran fell asleep. We had to stop and make sure he was awake.
Stop it. You guys wouldn't have known that I fell asleep if I didn't say it.
He dozed off.
I did watching doze off.
This. He shot up and he goes, that's on me. Fell asleep. That's on me.
This is, it's just not excusable. I don't know how this show has a following after this. And once again, 8.8 user rating IMDb. I just want to, I hate that I keep bringing that
are
up.
Are there people who are watching this on repeat and who have done multiple viewings are excited about season two? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like you can excuse some seasons.
I can tell you what television. It is. I can tell you what it is right now. It's the Christians. It's evangelicals who think all of TV is full of smut. And this show it's a book based on a book by a Christian author. And this season two has had a heavy dose of good old time religion in it. The new pastor showing up, getting the old pastor out of town, giving him a second chance. In this episode, getting this guy who doesn't want to go to church to go to church. The Christians don't care if it's well made. It's
all
good
I'm saying,
to them.
Christians, is that water pumping scene.
Yeah,
that's too spicy for television.
That is too
spicy.
Spicy
living water right there,
boy.
It's time for all the feels. Part of the show we talk. I don't know. It's time for the show we talk about what in this episode made us feeling things.
Made us feeling things. You got it.
The water pump scene is, I mean, scandalous. For Hallmark, it was. That's maybe one of their better scenes together in terms of just pure raw emotion. I thought that's really something. That's it. I got nothing else. There's no. I guess when you finally see the church. You know, that's a pretty church.
We see it in the theme song every week. It's in the fourth viewing of the church.
Okay, but we... Yeah. Okay. You do, don't you?
Beep. Oh, I am... Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Jack's brother and Elizabeth's sister kissing gave me feels. I didn't see it coming.
Wow. I forgot it happened.
Gave me feels. Huh. I don't know their names, but it did give me feels. So,
just the credits. That was about it. It's really bad, guys. It's bad. They don't even look. I got angry feels. We have established, even I in season one would have told you Elizabeth and Jack are good characters and you pull for them to be together.
Yep.
This girl has gone out of town for what I don't know. And in turn, I don't know how much time she's gone. How much time has she gone? Feels like years watching it. How long has she gone?
I mean, what, enough time, three weeks?
Enough time three to build weeks? A church?
It ha- a, 4 weeks? It has to be at least a month, in my opinion. They don't even do everyone the service of doing a get back into town scene where she gets off the train, Jack's waiting for her. They didn't even do that. They just skip straight to her welcome back party. It is bad. It's bad plotting, bad writing, bad television making. It's not good. It was so angry. Her going back to town should be a big deal. Wasn't. Angry feels.
You're a big deal to me.
Thank you. All right, cut.
We'll be right back here on It All. Yeah,
we're mercifully not talking about the bad child actor.
Yes, we're back. It's time for the Wait What part of the show where we talk about things in this episode that made us go, wait, what? Made us go, huh? No way. Nice shirt.
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
Go ahead.
First, the just two things, really. I think I was bored out of my mind, so I missed some.
I had, like, taxes to do or something.
Yeah. Watching you do taxes would have been more fun.
I had to do inventory on the sour candy over there. I had to do something. I don't know what it was. I had to do something. What's the most boring task you can think of? I had to stain my deck.
Oh,
I'd rather stain my deck. Put it on the board right now.
We got our water cooler delivered during this episode.
Yes, and that was exciting.
That is cool. No.
When we talked,
I'm really excited to try it. I'm getting ready to try it.
Oh, wow.
Keep using plastic like a monster.
Hey, I'm going to reuse the plastic. So what's that mean?
It actually takes a long time. You should watch some stuff on it. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Well, now I feel like I'm simple. I feel like I'm just ruining everything.
I mean, for 3 years, as long as we've been on video, I've been using plastic. I'm giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be lumped into that crew.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. That's why I switched to the water cooler.
I'm proud of you. Why does the big lumber guy, what's his name?
Kevon?
Leland? Kevon? Leland?
Yeah.
Yeah, big lumber guy.
Lee.
Langley?
Lee.
Not Langley. Not where the CIA is.
Lee. Why does he keep provoking Gowan? Like, why does he keep needling that guy? Like, the dude is the mayor. Like, why would you just keep... Like, the guy is going to make your life... He has been awful for 2 seasons. He has clearly shown no care or concern for anybody. And yet you keep running your mouth to him. You
doofus. Well, Gowan is making it difficult for Lee, too. Like, it works both. Like, Gowan keeps saying, hey, you got to have permits now, which you didn't have to have before. So, like, Gowan starts this.
But I do think that Panda's point is that Gowan has killed 40-plus people.
No. Yeah. Lee should be kind to him for the sake of his own business.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But Gowan is provoking him.
Oh, absolutely, okay. Gowan is.
All right, as long as we're on the same page.
But he keeps, after Gowan keeps provoking him, he keeps going up to him afterwards and running his mouth to him. Like, shut up, dude.
Just, you don't get to stare down with Gowan.
No, you don't.
You don't do it.
You don't do it.
Wouldn't recommend it.
You don't poke a bear.
You don't poke the bear.
I poked one once.
Wouldn't recommend it.
It was awful.
Can't snow me.
They were asleep though, so it was fine.
Snowman.
Do you got any more?
The other one is what's her? I'm forgetting all their names. Abigail. Abigail goes. She's talking about her son.
You don't want to forget that one.
Yeah. Abigail goes. She's talking about her son. He dies. She pulls out a baseball. She says, "I should have let him break as many windows as he wanted."
Looking back.
Yeah. Looking back.
Yeah. Looking back, I should have let him break as many windows as he wanted.
What?
No.
Can you figure it out?
No, I like what she says there because
she's trying to say the girl has broken plates and she basically is saying, your family,
yes.
I don't care if you break all the plates, I'm still going to love you. But what she said in trying to make an analogy out of her son is that he was breaking random windows playing baseball, not their windows.
Right.
So she said, she didn't say, I should have just let him have the baseball back. She said, looking back, I should have let him break as many windows as he wanted. That's vandalism. And
that's a terrible idea.
You can't do that.
I think her point there is that he then would have been in jail and not in the mines. Oh, and I think that's beautiful.
No, that's good. How come I didn't see it before?
Forgive me, Paul.
Sometimes there's beauty in letting your kids be vandals. Keeps them out of the mines.
Keeps them out of college, am I right?
I got I got a couple of lines here, boys. Who is saying this? Somebody's saying, I think it's Elizabeth is talking. Yes, talking about Rosemary, and she's trying to say that she doesn't believe what Rosemary says anymore. She says the line, "I don't trust her." A shaker full of salt. I take what she says as a shaker full of salt.
With a shaker full of salt,
which is a lot compared to the saying, which is a grain of salt.
That's right.
So, like, I take what you say as a grain of salt.
Yes,
that's if not the it's same a either. Shaker full of salt, that's a lot of grains.
That's a lot of grains. Yes.
Too many grains.
That means she's not exaggerating. That means she's just lying.
Yeah. She's doing the whole babysitter thing, and she walks into this boy's room who's scared of the dark, and she brings in a lantern, And I'm here to tell you that the lantern could not be more pointless, because it could not be more bright in that kid's room.
Yeah.
And I understand they're filming a TV show, but that poor kid, if he's just afraid of the dark, he's never seen the dark.
No, it's daylight. It's a real sunfest situation.
It's a real sunfest situation for sure. And last but not least, there is a guy towards the end of this episode, this establishing shot of Abigail's Cafe, and I just want to know who this guy is, because it's an establishing shot, Abigail's Cafe, and this guy is walking in front, he's just like, keeps walking.
He's lost.
Who is he? What's he looking for?
In a one street town.
Yeah.
Lost.
What is this?
What's going on here?
I just wanted, like, when they were filming those, who sent Jerry down there? Jerry, just get the shot.
What's going on? Oh, was the camera on just
it was
now?
On? Oh, dang.
I'm sorry. Do it again. We don't have time.
We got to move on, Jerry.
You're a terrible child actor over here. You should see him.
Okay.
I'm not pointing out which one he is.
Oh, Dan, now you've narrowed it down.
Wink, wink. Here's the deal. This could be me. I am well aware it could be me. And I want to make that clear. But I feel like they put up no less than 10 walls for a four-wall church building. In the three episodes that I've seen in season two, I feel like they've put up walls on that thing several times. Am I wrong on that?
It feels like, I think they laid the foundation last week.
I thought they started when he gets back in the first episode.
Yeah.
And then last week, I feel like they put some walls up, and then this one, they're back to foundation, and they put one up, and then they put all of them up.
And then the church is done.
And then the church is just done. Abracadabra. I'm very confused there. Next, can we talk about Rosemary getting kidnapped just briefly? I just want to make sure, if you're listening and didn't put yourself through this torture this week, good for you. But two guys come into town and they tell Rosemary that she is supposed to be the star of a new play, like in New York or somewhere. I don't remember. Not New York. I don't know where.
Hamilton.
I don't know. But they say she's going to be the star of the show. They proceed to pack
San Francisco.
Her up. San Francisco. They proceed to pack her up in the car and leave town. The real reason they're making her leave is because they work for this guy who claims that she owes him a lot of money, right?
Yes.
Now, it would stand to reason that they would wait until they got to where they were going before they told her, surprise, we're the bad guys. But what do? They get out of town a ways. They pull over and go, hey, we're the bad guys. Why? Why are they doing that? Why did they... That is not to your strategic advantage if you're trying to get someone to pay a debt to tell them you have ulterior motives midway through the trip. It's almost like they're doing it for the viewer. It's almost like at a commercial break, it's like, hi, I'm Daniel Lessing. We have a lot of fun here on When Calls the Heart. But I want you to know, Rosemary is actually being taken not for a play, but because they think she owes their boss some money. Return to what you were doing. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you would do that aside from our benefit, which is the dumbest thing in the world. And then how does she get rescued? By Jack's horse catching car. Jack's car catching horse. Their car does break down. But it's like a day later, he's like, wait a minute, she's going the wrong way. And he gets on his horse and he catches her, and it's still daylight outside. Very impressive.
What powers cars? Horse power.
That's it. True. Merry Christmas. We're done. Call it. Listen.
He has one horsepower, and one horsepower is faster than no horsepower. So think about
this
that.
This horse is fast.
Think about that.
This horse,
you've given us a lot to ponder today, Brian.
This horse is fast enough to catch a car with over a day's head start, but then has to rest before going home a full night. He says, I'm really sorry. We have to sleep outside. I didn't prepare for this, but my horse needs a good night's sleep before he can ride again.
You're just, do cars need gas? Yeah. So do horses. What do horses do?
I don't know how many times I can tell you this is a bad comparison, but it is.
Horse power.
At one point they're in the saloon and they don't want to order alcohol, and they don't want to order just water. So one person says, to the bartender, hey, can I have something to drink? And then the other person goes, me too. And he just brings him two drinks. Like
two different drinks.
Two different drinks. Like he knows the difference between a something to drink.
The usual.
And a me too.
You'd bring me a milk. Yeah. You'd bring them Diet Coke and you'd be happy. Yeah.
But this is the next one. And I probably will mention this again from here until eternity. This is my last one, but I cannot stress the importance of this enough. How is Gowan the mayor? No one voted for this guy. No one. And we establish in this episode that with enough support, you can have a recall vote. And a recall vote only happens when you're trying to recall a vote that was previously taken. No one voted for this guy for mayor. He went up and threatened somebody. And then the next thing you know, he's mayor. It doesn't make any sense.
Sometimes I do wonder if, like, people know he's mayor. I feel like if everyone knew he was mayor, they'd be upset.
How did this happen?
Seeing as how, remember Mega Funeral.
It is one of the most egregious, just skip over plot points in a show. It only makes sense because they want to keep him around and for him to be mean and have power to do so. No one voted in this guy as mayor.
I am thankfully still around, though.
I mean, I love him, but he's just there doing nothing. Yeah. He's got nobody to stare down. Nobody to, like, give these speeches to. He's just the mayor that I guess he usurped the title of. I don't know.
But somehow he could be voted out.
With a recall vote.
With a recall vote.
But not with a regular vote, which he never was voted in by.
I don't know.
That is inexcusable. Like, that is just not intelligent. It's just bad. Find another way to make him mayor. I don't care. That's bad.
Sure. I can see that.
What cartoon character would you vote for in the presidential race?
Bullwinkle.
Okay.
Bullwinkle? He's not that bright, Bullwinkle.
No, Rocky's the dummy.
Bullwinkle's pretty smart. You think Bullwinkle's smarter than Rocky?
100%. The flying squirrel?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Interesting. 100%. That's an interesting take. I didn't see it coming, guys.
I didn't see it coming either.
Yeah.
It's time for Hopes and Values. As part of the show, we talk about something in this episode that is giving us hope for the future and or giving us sorrow for the future.
I have it. Hope that I'm so glad Elizabeth is back in Hope Valley. It's good that they're back. I hope we get some more classroom scenes where she's teaching because I enjoyed those from season one. My valley, though, is that she has left things unresolved with Dude Bro back in Hamilton, meaning that she either goes there or he comes to Hope Valley and there's a love triangle with her, Jack, and this guy, which makes no sense.
At all.
At None. All. Like, stop it.
They just stop don't want to marry those two off too quickly.
I get it. I understand. But you know what that sets us up for? Season three of them pining away with each other and then them not getting married till season four. That's what it sets us up for. And it just feels like an unbearable journey till we get there. Like that, it just hurts my heart.
Yep.
This is a dumb plot point. I hate it. I'm glad she's back in Hope Valley.
That's a low point of the podcast for me, guys. I got to be honest. This episode's bad.
No hope?
No hope at all. None. Hopeless over here.
My hope is that Elizabeth is back. I'm very excited about that. My valley is, it does seem that those kids did change the name of their cow. And I don't know what that does to the cows, you know.
In your synopsis, you said they gave her a cowbell. I think Jack gave her the cowbell.
Okay.
And they just said they named the cow Lizzie.
You could see why I'd be confused.
Yeah,
though.
Fair enough, because it's two cow jokes.
There's two cow things going on simultaneously.
There's calling only, Elizabeth
there's
a cow.
There's only so much cow to be around. It's a Pocket Watch, none that I saw.
None. Pocket Watch, no.
Is he still here?
I don't know.
I'm scared to look at the IMDb
and
on it.
Smolder score.
Well, after two straight zeros, can he get a turkey and get three in a row? No, because he and Elizabeth have a few scenes in Hope Valley. He's etched back up. It's a 3.3 for me. 3.3.
The water pump scene is pretty steamy. I give that scene, 8 or 9 for just steamy factor.
But that, remember, 85 minutes. That was three of them. Maybe not even 3 minutes. That was probably like seven,
okay, well, 6.
Okay.
I was going to give it a 6 as well, Panda. I think that's a really solid and wise score.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's time for What's Calling My Heart. It's the part of the show where we read an email about what is calling somebody's heart, what is bringing them joy right now. Dan, who do we have today?
We have Lainey Noska or Noska.
Lainey?
The other. Lainey.
Lainey wrote in?
Hey, Lainey. Lainey
Noska, that's right. Hello, Brand Panda and Dan.
Hey, Lainey.
My name is Lainey, and I found your podcast this past year and absolutely love it. It has given me so many laughs, and I look forward to listening to it every day. What's calling my heart is Mysteries 101 with Jill Wagner and Christopher Palaha. I just finished their newest one, Killer Timing, and I absolutely loved it. The premise was very different from the other Hallmark movies and mysteries, and you could tell they were making an effort to make the movie their best one yet. The movie had me on the edge of my seat the entire time, and it felt less like a normal Hallmark Mysteries and more like a TV drama. Hallmark has really helped my family and I through this difficult time by disconnecting from everything going on and just watching a feel-good movie. And even though the mysteries are very predictable, there is something about them, and being able to see the characters change over time and getting deeply invested into whether or not the two characters will get together, aka Travis and Amy in Mysteries 101, that makes me love them nonetheless. I cannot wait to hear you guys what you guys have to say about the movie, and I just wanted to remind you that you are making so many people smile and laugh in this hard time, when sometimes that is hard to come by. So thank you for that. I hope you all are doing well and staying safe. Much love, Lainey Noska. Lainey, thank you so much.
That's so great.
Very kind.
That was very kind.
That's, actually, Lainey, just P.S., that's Ryan Pavey's sister who wrote that, if you can believe it.
I love that. What are you doing in my inbox?
We will be back tomorrow.
Hey, hello@Hallmark.com is where you send your complaints to me or what's calling my heart emails.
We will be back tomorrow with Christmas at Holly Lodge. Can't wait. Until then, I and my pals would love to be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.